You know, I we had this morning at about 6:15, we had two little munchkins come running out and jumping on our bed. My granddaughters were over last night, and Skyler comes running in at about 6:15 and says, "We were up since 6 o'clock, but we don't want to wake you up too early." So 6:15 was better, I guess. And in the process of all the stuff going on this morning, as they do, it was like, of course, every time they come, it's like the night before, they're already putting their order in for chocolate chip pancakes in the morning. So lots of stuff going on, and I noticed that I grabbed my little blurb, because I'm supposed to share with you also a little bit about Billy Graham today. And instead I had Billy Graham's big tent over here, which is not going to work too well for them. So, let me... I'll just say a couple of words about Billings. I'm coordinator for Billings and Grounds for the church, and I look at this as a ministry. Mm. Not as much as a service, as a ministry. I feel like everything we do in this place should be ministry. And so when I consider this place, the grounds, the building, the other building, I consider it as part of God's place, a ministry. With that in mind, I don't want to take too much time from the message this morning, but let me just share with you. Today is our business meeting. We've been telling you about this business meeting now for the last 4 weeks. I'm hoping that you have made the plans to stay here, because today I'm going to share most of what I had to say. I'll share it then. I couldn't decide this morning if I should talk to you about the program of finishing up the rooms in the back, or the chair lift, or the sign, or the change in lights, or what's happened with LIPA, or so many, or the plans that we have for the future. Things we're looking forward to doing this coming year, God willing, with your intent, and with your help, and with God's provision. So to give you more about that, you'll have to stay for the meeting after the service today. So I encourage you, if you haven't decided that, think about that. We're going to do it, I think, directly following, right? Okay, so we're going to go right into that. Encourage you to be with us. So let's take a second, one more time here now, and just bow your head for a second. Father, there are a couple of great things that happened here today already. First of all, your presence is here. Yes. We thank you for that, Lord. There's some real difficulties, trials going on today, Lord, in some of our people. And Barbara and Jim are at the top of that list, but there are others, Lord, struggling here today. And Father, we know that today is your day and that you intend to meet with your people. You already have been meeting with your people today. Lord, as Pastor Nick prayed before we started the service, help us to stay out of your way. And Lord, that's what I ask, God, that you would have your way, Lord. We pray that you would open every heart and every mind. You would speak to speaker and receiver this morning, that we would know your will and understand your plan. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Jerry shared a word, and his word was, the person who needs to hear this, that God is there. He's with you. He's not forsaking you. And he wants to show you things that you haven't even yet imagined. And that is the text for today. He didn't know what the text was for today, but that's the text for today. Jeremiah 33. If you want to look at that, you can. It should be up here too. Jeremiah, middle of your Bible, chapter 33, verse 3. I want to just read that to start out with, and so you can let this roll around inside, let this sink in, think about this as we go through this today. The title of today's message is Unceasing Prayer. You know, the thing about prayer, it's a lot like baseball. Yeah, thank you. What? How is prayer like baseball? Well, baseball is the kind of game where you can, it can be extremely simplistic, you can sit down and watch it. And it's one person throwing the ball, the other person hitting the ball, and they run around the bases, and that's baseball. And you can take it and enjoy it that way. Or you can get into baseball and realize that it's so complicated that every single pitch, there are about 4, 5, 10, 15, 20 things going on. Because the pitcher's thinking about what he's going to throw to the catcher. Your sign's going down. The infield is looking at what pitch is going to be thrown because he's throwing this pitch. I'm going to move this way. This person's giving that person a signal. So before a pitch is thrown, dozens of things are happening. And although prayer seems like it's extremely simple, and it is because we are speaking to God, Prayer is dealing with the holy, almighty God who is mysterious. And though we don't completely understand how it works, the more we get to know him, the more it begins to make sense to us. So Jeremiah 33:3 reads this. Call to me. This is God speaking to you today through the prophet Jeremiah thousands of years ago. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know, that you can't even imagine. It's going to bite me. I don't see it. Still on? Let this verse roll around your brain. In fact, I want you to mark this in your Bible, because I want you to think about this. Today when you walk out of here, I want you to think about this. During the time, I want you to think about this. Call to me. God's speaking to us. Call to me. God is asking us. God is imploring us. In the book we've been reading, you've been hearing about, this Vertical Church, this is the quote from the beginning of this chapter on unceasing prayer. It is, fervent, faith-filled prayer. Fervent, faith-filled prayer, because prayer is a activity of faith. Fervent, faith-filled prayer is a prerequisite to God's manifest presence in a church. James McDonald, the Vertical Church, is manifest presence, him showing up in church. Now, the Vertical Church, let's talk about that for a second again. A Vertical Church, what is a Vertical Church? The Vertical Church, the idea is that the focus is on God, vertical, this way, versus horizontal, this way. Our activities are trying to do things that would make the people happier and satisfied. No, we're looking for making God satisfied and letting those pieces fall where they should. The manifest glory of God. What is that? The manifest glory of God. The manifest glory of God is when God shows up in a place like this, in such a way that you see him, the invisible God, becomes visible. How? On the faces of the people who are praying, on the faces of the people who are praising, on the faces of the people who are bringing the word of God, and the place becomes saturated, and you see it, you feel it, you know it, you hear it. God shows up in a powerful way. I wanted to talk to you about the Shekinah glory of the Old Testament, how God was visibly seen, but again, we're going to be short for time, so I'm not sure how this is going to go today, so we're going to just follow the Lord. Our focus today is on prayer, and I want to talk to you about two kinds of prayer. One is personal, individual prayer. The other is corporate prayer, gathering together to praise you. Some of you might be saying this morning, you know, I know you're starting a prayer here. I know we're having prayer groups here starting on Sundays. We have one on Tuesdays as well. But, you know, prayer is not really my thing. I'll help with other things, and I think I can teach a Sunday school class, or I can, you know, I can help in other ways. But just not, prayer isn't my thing. Well, really? Well, I think prayer is your thing. Those of you who are here who know the Lord, you've said the sinner's prayer, haven't you? What a powerful prayer that was, accepting Jesus Christ. And you pray for God's protection over your children and your family, don't you?
Yes.
We do that all the time. And there's that moment when we have that moment of fear, that sudden situation where the adrenaline pumps, and we get so scared we say, oh God! People have no idea how to pray. We'll cry out to God at that moment, won't they? So we all know how to pray, but today we're talking here about developing that prayer, changing that prayer into one that is powerful. Changing that prayer into one that has consistency and persistence. Praying in a way that we connect to God by God's Spirit. You never know what you can do until you actually try. And for the Christian, you start realizing that when you connect to God's Spirit, it becomes so much more than what you are. Now, we're going to talk about the book of Acts here, about that change over there, very briefly. But I want to just take a second here. There's a movie that is Tom Cruise and Carmen Diaz, and it's called Day and Night. Anybody ever seen that? Day and Night. It's really got a cute part to it, because at one part in time, Tom Cruise is trying to save this girl's life. But she's afraid of it. She wants nothing to do with him. And so he says to her, gets her on the side and says, look, if you come with me, your chances for survival are great up here. If you stay away from me, your chances are down here. With me here, without me here. With me here, without me here. When we have God's presence with us, our chances of being successful and accomplishing great and mighty things are to here. Without him, here. Now, I want you to think about the fact that we can't save anyone. You can testify to them. You can witness. We've been talking about several things this week. You can pray for them. You can witness for them. You can invite them. You can talk to them. You can live your life before them. But you can't save them. Who can do that? The Lord. His Spirit does. His Spirit working in us makes us powerful and effective. We become an extension of him. We enter into his holy presence. We become confident in him. His Spirit begins to work in us. This is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. I think I have it, but I'm going to read it to you. It says, so friends, we can now without hesitation walk right up to God into the holy place. We're talking here about a boldness. We've been speaking about boldness in worship. Walking into that holy place. This was the Holy of Holies. In the Old Testament, we had a tabernacle. It was a Holy of Holies. This was the place where God's presence would literally come down and visibly be seen. Shekinah. Then there was a holy place. In the temple, the same thing, the Holy of Holies, the holy place. The Ark of the Covenant sat in that Holy of Holies, and God's presence was there. The only person who could go into that place was the high priest once a year. And now Paul writes, whoever the author of Hebrews is, it might be Paul. The writer of Hebrews writes, so friends, we can now without hesitation go boldly into this holy place, the Holy of Holies. Right into the presence of God. For Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is his body. We can go boldly into this holy place. And I want you to think about those words of Jeremiah again. What are those words? Call unto me. God saying, excuse me, call unto me, and what? And I will. Think about those words. This is God saying to us, I'm asking you to do this. I'm imploring you to do this. Call unto me. Call me, and I will answer you. And I will show you things that will blow your mind. My paraphrase. The past 3 weeks, we've been hearing inspired preaching up here, and they've been over the topics of unashamed adoration. That would be the worshiping of God freely. It is beginning to happen more here. I'm seeing you begin to become less conscious. I can feel it happening around me. Hands are going up. People are feeling more concerned about worshiping God than what people think of them around them. I know that for some of you, this is easier than others. But we're beginning to do that. The word says that God inhabits the praises of his people. It means he loves those praises. And as you worship the Lord unashamed, his presence fills the place. We heard about unapologetic preaching, about being empowered with boldness by the Spirit, having authority in God, not your authority, God's authority, working through his Spirit and through his word. We heard about unafraid witness the third week. Being empowered again with authority, God's Spirit, implementing and directing your thinking so that your life matches up with the words that you share with people. And today, unceasing prayer. The word unceasing prayer doesn't even seem to fit what I'm sharing with you today, but it actually does. I was going to ask you when I first walked up here, please, as you're listening today, keep praying. For Jim and Barbara. We were having prayer this morning. As now the church is having a corporate time of prayer here. And we were having prayer this morning. And Barbara came in and actually had to interrupt the prayer. She was so beside herself at that moment, because Jim was so ill that he could not get out of bed this morning. So she didn't know what she should do. She wanted to call the ambulance, but she wasn't sure if she should. And finally, as she was standing there, it came to her that she needed to. And she gave the report to us, and she went back home. We imagine Jim right now. I'm imagining he's in that hospital room. And it's possible for you to listen to what's going on up here, and for you to be praying at the same time. You know that's possible? How is it that God can deal with all of us? Because what's going to happen here today, right now, it's happening right now. And I got to tell you, the thought I had before I walked up here was that God is about to break through. There's about to be a breakthrough here. And for many of you, what is happening, what God is doing right now, the way God is speaking to you right now, right this moment, he's speaking to you individually. Your need, your situation, right where you are. And what's happening right now in Darren's mind is not the same as happening in Paul's mind, because they have different situations. How does he do it? How does he speak to us in such amazing individual ways? And yet he can. It's possible for us to continue praying and remain in God's spirit, even while we're active at work, at play, involved with other people. Our spirit continues to pray and commune with him. How many with me here? You're waiting for that, right? Where was it? What's he waiting for? He's able to do that. We are able to do that by the work of his spirit. There are times where he'll wake you out of sleep to call you and to pray and be involved with things. There are times where you're talking to somebody and you don't even want to seem like you're distracted, because God is speaking to you to pray and do something. There are moments where in the middle of the day you get a thought. And the more sensitive we become to the Lord, the more responsive we become to that thought. To continue in prayer, unceasing prayer. The first three messages, unashamed adoration, unapologetic preaching, unafraid witness, all of those things work together. They complement each other, because they all work with God's Spirit working through them. And the fourth one today, unceasing prayer, is what makes all of them possible. Because without the prayer, all of those things don't happen. And yet prayer is the thing we tend to do the least of. Paul Bunyan wrote this. Sorry, Paul Bunyan. Not Paul Bunyan, John Bunyan. Paul Bunyan's got it, yeah. John Bunyan, the great minister. You can do more than pray after you've prayed. But you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. You can do more than pray after you pray. Yeah, there's things we can do. But you can't do more than pray until you pray. Prayer is the vehicle that brings us into the outpouring of God's presence and the blessing of your life and others in this place. What can we do? How can we bring God's presence in prayer? God really has made it easy for us. Call to me, and I'll do it. Call to me, and I will answer you. This is the kind of prayer that God is calling us to. This prayer has begun here at Patchogue. I mentioned earlier that there are two kinds of prayer, and we need both of them. There's your daily individual prayer. Without asking you to raise your hands, I'm just asking you to think about this. Are you praying? More than a year ago, at around Easter time, Lent, we entered into a kind of an agreement to begin to pray. We asked you to start praying with us daily, and I know you were doing it. If you could see it, you could feel it. It has impacted and affected the leadership of this church. Your prayers have affected the leadership of this church, because your leaders are now meeting, and the first thing we do is have prayer. We have devotion. We have discussion. We talk about ministry now more than business. We meet together. Your prayers are impacting. But it's easy to start falling away from that. Your personal prayer time is sacred time between you and God, but God works with that as a tool. it's easy to fall away from that because every distraction, every situation will come against you to try and take you away from it. Business of the day, emergencies, other thoughts, concerns, fear, problems, grandchildren. You need to guard over that time. You need to keep that time between you and God because it is essential. God wants to direct your life. He wants you to call to Him. He wants to be involved with your life. He wants to use you to be praying for the people. He wants to use you for direction and leadership here. Guard over that time. But that's one piece of this prayer situation. The other part is corporate prayer. Any church, any place that has ever become powerful and successful in the way of God. Now, I'm not talking about a crowd. It's possible to have a mega church that's huge and powerful and looks great. But the manifest presence of God is not showing up there. But any place that is going to be powerful and successful and wonderful and used of the Lord has got to be involved in prayer ministry. We cannot do it without God working. That's the prerequisite that we talked about. Because it protects us, it guides us, it puts Him in charge, not us. With Jim and Barbara, with Annette, who I hope you're praying for, God can leverage these awful situations, these terrible ordeals. He can turn these situations into something good. And I know that right now there's half a dozen, 20, 25 people who say, I'm going through this right now. God can turn those situations, leverage those situations into something wonderful in which He can show Himself strong. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you things that you haven't even thought of yet. And turn those situations to demonstrate His power and His love. Prayer is never, ever to change the mind of God, to change the will of God. He knows what's right. He knows before we know what's going to happen. Prayer is always to enlist the power and authority of God to intervene and make a difference. We believe in prayer for great and mighty things. We believe in prayer for miracles. I hope you believe that. Yeah. You got to ask, how many believe that God's prayer will accomplish miracles? Yeah. Healings. If we really believe that, then why aren't we praying more? Because as we get down and begin to pray, that fervent, faith-filled prayer. Think about those words. Fervent. I want to encourage you this morning, even corporately, when you come together to pray, and if you're not coming with us Sunday morning, we're having prayer now. The prayer is starting something like 9:15 in some cases with the ushers. It goes from 9:30 again and 9:40, right up until the time of the service starting. If you're not coming, please consider this, because we need you at praying. We need each individual and we need leaders. Consider coming, being part of this. How should we pray? One of the ways I'm going to encourage you to pray this morning is outwardly. I appreciate the silence and the quiet of the sanctuary. When we come in Sunday morning, it's quiet in here and people are seeking the Lord. That's a time that we really need that, because what God has to say to us is extremely important, more important than we have to say to Him. But there's also that time where we need to outwardly begin to raise our voice and speak to the Lord. Call to me, God says. Call to me, and I will answer you. For some people, this will be more difficult than others. You don't have to shout or yell. But there's something about hearing, even when you're by yourself, when you're praying aloud, something about hearing the prayer that encourages you. There's something about reading God's word aloud that comes back and encourages you. This morning, as we were singing a couple of the choruses, those choruses are written as though we are singing them to God. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. Righteousness is what I long for. What about taking it the other way around? What about God saying that to us? Let me say it back to him. Righteousness is what? God said, you, what I need. Faithfulness is what I need. Prayer is the avenue that brings us to connect to God, to get these things done. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 31, it says, and after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. When it says shaken, it means the foundation of the place literally rumbled with the presence and power of God. That particular occasion, Acts chapter 4, when they prayed that time, they were being threatened. They were being told, do not pray. Do not continue with this. Do not do this. And that prayer was one of emergency, one of authority, one of boldness. And God answered with manifest presence, literally shaking the place. Don't you want to experience that? Don't you want God to shake this place? I want that. I don't want to replicate. I don't want to be like the churches where they're coming down the aisle and they're moving the lantern back and forth, the incense burner, so they can give off the sweet smell and the smoke, so they can sort of replicate what was the presence of God at one time. I don't want to replicate. I want to experience. I want to touch and be touched by the presence of God. I want to see God on your faces. I want to see this situation. This church is filled with people worshiping, praising, and adoring God. I want to see that so much that it spills out into this community. And the people outside here, some who are angry with us for the parking situation, it spills out into their area, to their home, to where they will be actually feel that come in here and receive from the Lord. I want to see it spill out into the church, and Pastor Jerry prayed for the other churches this morning. That the community, not just this place, but that God's revival starts in this area and spreads through the island. And those things can happen only by prayer. And I'll tell you one more thing. When you begin to pray this way, you can expect battles to occur. They are occurring now. Because the ground that you are taking by prayer in the Spirit, where it will literally be shaken, is not going to be yielded easily. And when we talk about prayer, part of that prayer, we said, unceasing prayer, it means persistent prayer. Sometimes the prayer will be answered quickly. Sometimes God does it that way. But oftentimes it doesn't work that way. Oftentimes it's a matter of continuing in prayer. That's where the faith must come in. Sometimes people pray for years, but God does answer. My mother's sister was an example of that. My mother's sister is now in her 90s. But she didn't come to the Lord until her 50s, because my mother prayed for her for 30 years. She prayed for her sister until that woman came and received Christ. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. God, you have written this prayer. Take a moment and let God speak to us first. Speak to your heart about what he wants to do. Now we want you to know him. Let him speak to you this morning about the plans that he has that you're involved with. Surrender your heart to him today. If there's anybody in this place today who has never yielded their heart, yielded their mind to the Lord, that today is your opportunity to do that. I don't know if there is or there isn't, but I'm going to just say this prayer. If you're that person, if you've never surrendered your heart to the Lord, He is calling you today. He's giving you the opportunity today. The word of Jeremiah, call to me and I will answer you. If you're that person, I'm going to say this prayer. You can stay quietly, but here's the prayer. Lord Jesus, I've never given my heart to you, but today is my day. I surrender my heart. I surrender my whole life. I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to forgive my sins. I ask you to make me a new person in you. I give myself to you now. And I believe this and accept it by faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, if you would take the words that have been shared today, Lord, and make them come alive into the hearts of your people. Lord, that we would begin to pray and let those prayers become incense, sweet-smelling, wonderful offerings to you. That those prayers would reach beyond the pews, Lord, beyond the walls, Lord, to the people in different places that need them, to the people this morning who are hurting, and Lord, to the churches in our area, to the all the way, oh Lord God, into Albany, Father, to the place and seat of government, all the way, oh God, into Washington, Father, we begin to pray. Lord, I pray your protection over these people as they begin this prayer. And that, God, you would give us great and mighty, Lord, vision, a mighty vision, Lord, for what we want to do in this place. In Jesus' name we pray this. Everyone say. Amen.